Systems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. We got the most important battles out of the way, the Revolutionary War, in my opinion, but there are others. And Pastor Chatfield, you got a couple more for us to talk about.
Well, I'm going to move on to the Civil War, which the turning point, largest battle ever fought on the Western Hemisphere, Gettysburg. Robert E. Lee was leading the Army of Virginia. He moved north, and they went up through Maryland, went up into Pennsylvania, and one of the soldiers says, "Hey, how do you guys like this way of our coming back into the Union?" As one of his soldiers said, as they were marching through, and the Army of the Potomac was shadowing them, trying to stay in between Lee's army and Washington, D.C., because we didn't want Washington, D.C. to be threatened. But who knows? Lee thought, "I may be able to go up there and take Harrisburg or take even Philadelphia." In other words, I think Lee understood this by this time, not only was this an army fought in the battlefield, it was fought on the political realm. There was a sizable portion of the North who had it by 1863. And really, a year later, tremendously it had it. "It's not worth it. Let them go. Too many of our sons are dying." And so Lee knew if he could sustain massive casualties on the Union, the pro-peace part of the Union would say, let's negotiate a peace. Let's let the South go. And Lincoln understood that, too. So on this day in Gettysburg, July 1st, 1863, the South headed to Gettysburg from the North, and the North was coming from the South, and they bumped into each other at Gettysburg, three-day battle. When the battle started on the first day, it was Southern infantry against Northern cavalry. And the cavalry, for a long time, held off the South, but they were greatly outnumbered, maintained some of the parts of the high ground. The second day, pivotal battle there at Little Round Top on the other end of the battle, where Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain's 20th Maine stopped the Alabamans from taking that hill and flanking the entire Union Army. The third day of battle, most famous because Lee had his dander up. He says, "We can take them in the middle. They'll be weak in the middle." And he sent General George Pickett's army across that field, and they were mowed down. It's called the high water mark of the Confederacy. Almost nobody made it to the Stonewall, just a handful. Devastating loss for the North, for the South. Lee had to flee. Really, at that time, if Meade would have just immediately followed up on the defeat and attack the Southern armies, they might have been make the war to end sooner, but it was not to be. And the war went on for almost 2 years more. But that was the turning point of the war, the Battle of Gettysburg. 150,000 men fought, about 45,000 killed or wounded, huge casualties. But it was Gettysburg is the turning point of the war. That's why we say the Gettysburg Address, and we understand what the war was about.
So you have said in the past that Gettysburg is definitely on your bucket list. Was on your bucket list. You've been there many times, but you highly recommend people if they're ever in that area to definitely go and take the tour. They have tour guides and people there to explain it. You highly recommend people do that.
I do, and they have it so that you can put it on a tape. By now, I imagine you could probably connect to the internet and I'm sure they have it like that. Then you can drive around and you'll say, stop at marker so-and-so, and they'll explain what happened here. I would encourage anybody to go to Gettysburg, but I would also encourage you to study about it first. As you read about it and then you see it, it just makes the trip more meaningful. I went with my wife, and I could explain some things to her. I'm not a military expert here of history, but you can see what's happening here. You can kind of understand Gettysburg a little bit. I'm not great at that. I'm not no expert, but
so you recommend people study it, read some books about it, understand the military actions, and then take the trip, and it'll just totally make sense in your head. You can put it together after studying up on it a little bit before you go.
Yes, if you don't, you're just driving around the pretty Pennsylvania countryside, and you'll see many, many dozens of monuments and things, but it just doesn't mean as much if you don't know what happened. If you have no understanding of what happened.
Excellent.
That's what I would encourage you to do.
What's the next battle think that was important?
Battle of Midway in the Pacific. Remember, that was in June of 1942. We had a surprise attack on us. December 7th, 1941, Japanese attack Pearl Harbor caught us totally off guard. And we were in bad straits after that. After that, the Japanese took a lot of the Southeast. They took the Philippines and many of the islands out there in the Pacific Rim. And we had not had a major victory. There was the Battle of Coral Sea, in which we kind of at least stopped, or at least slowed, the Japanese advance. But as we go into Midway, the Japanese have 245 aircraft, a couple of battleships, 15 heavy light cruisers, and they have 5 aircraft carriers. We, on the other hand, were much weaker at the time. We had 3 aircraft carriers, 233 planes, and 25 escorting cruisers and destroyers. So we did not have nearly what they had, but we had broken their code. We knew they were coming, and we kind of set them up for this. We trapped them. We surprised them. And there were a lot of tactical things that the Japanese did that probably was not best, but you look backward, it's hard to, and I can't go into all the details of that, but the Japanese, during the war, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who know about this, and I do. But these planes that were on these ships, some of them were fitted with a weaponry that was designed to hit land, and others were designed to hit ships and aircraft. And they had to keep changing outfitting their plane. And the Japanese kept messing up. So we were able to decisively win that battle, completely clearly won. Japanese lost 3,000 men. We lost 300 men and 150 planes. We destroyed their capability in the Pacific to take any more. They were very much crippled. Lost their aircraft carriers. I think they lost 3 of the 5. Maybe it was 4 of the 5. It was a total victory for the Americans. It was the turning point of the war in the Pacific.
What was the date on Midway again?
June of 1942. And so it took a long time. After that, as you all know, Admiral Chester Nimitz, along with MacArthur and Roosevelt, I suppose, we had the island hopping strategy that we were going to go island to island to island, skip some islands, take others. And every time we took an island, we would build a base on it, bring our supplies there, and launch to the next one until we got close enough. I think the last island was Okinawa, that we could actually attack the Japanese homeland. And that was our strategy, and it worked. By the way, I was just reading something just this last week. We've talked about Harry Truman's decision in August of 1945 to use the atomic bomb. There was a lot of discussion, man. I just read this, that Eisenhower didn't really want to do it. Now, Eisenhower was in the Eastern Theater. I mean, he was the Supreme Allied Commander in the East, so it wasn't his call. Obviously, it's the president's call. But nevertheless, Eisenhower thought we didn't need to do it. In retrospect, I think Eisenhower was wrong. I still do. It was needed to end the war. Now, you hate to say something. This sounds very unchristian-like, but it is true. In war, the object is to kill the other guy and not let your guys get killed. You follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Excuse me. Yeah. That's the object. How many Americans died because of the atomic bombs being dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Answer, zero.
A lot less than would have.
Zero. If we had invaded the Japanese homeland, the estimates maybe 500,000 Americans would have died. We could have done it. Yeah, but the object is to win the war and kill them and not get yourself killed. I know that sounds pretty cruel, but that's the nature of war. But anyway, Eisenhower was not for that. And just a little point of history there, because I have arguments with people in my church who say, we never should have done that. We didn't need to do it. They were ready to surrender. I don't believe that necessarily.
Right.
But could we have taken Japan without dropping the bomb? Probably. Would it have cost hundreds of thousands of American lives? Yes. Excuse me. Well, you know what? I know it sounds infantile or childish. They started the war. They started it. And that's the price you pay when you start a war against the United States. You got to punch back hard. So there you go. That's the hawk in me coming out. Well, okay, the last battle.
Yep. I'm going to hold you up there, and we're going to save that for the last segment. The point that I was taught by Mr. Goyke in U.S. history at Eisenhower High School in Shelby Township, Michigan, the way he put it and the way he explained it to us, it was the most inhumane, cruel thing that could be done to the Japanese people. But it was done to sacrifice for their leaders' mistakes in what they did at Pearl Harbor. And it was a situation that had to take place to prevent, like you say, less death. Because he said, had we invaded Japan physically, like you said, launched from Okinawa and other places, not only would a lot of American lives die, but a lot of Japanese, he said even more lives possibly could have died if we invaded that country. Yeah.
Very likely. Very likely. Yeah.
Last battle, final segment with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Are you one of the many people that have always wanted to give to your favorite charity or non-for-profit such as your church, school, or local community, but believe that it's way out of your budget, a goal that you've always wanted to fulfill? Let me show you some strategies that would benefit you and your favorite charity. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
SecuritySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
County Conservative Union 6th Annual Fun Shoot and Pig Roast, Saturday, July 19th from noon till 4 p.m. in Central Lake, Michigan. Come join us. Bring your firearms and ammo as the safety gun ranges will be open. They will be serving an Iron Pig smoked pulled pork dinner with all the fixings, including Trucker Randy's world-famous carrot cake. Check out all the details and make a donation for your tickets at their website, acconservatives.org, or call 231-420-8320. See you there!
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. You were teeing up the very last battle that you thought was critical to your list for today's lesson plan, sir. Go ahead. Last battle of Pastor Chatfield.
It's got to be Normandy, D-Day, June 6, 1944. History of the world changes. Largest amphibious invasion in the history of the world. We had 160,000 Allied troops on that day, 6,939 ships, hundreds and hundreds of airplanes were out there in the English Channel. Bombardment begins at about 5:30 a.m. First troops arrive at 6:30 a.m. Five different beaches, sections, about a 50-mile section. Of Normandy is where the it happened. Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juneau, and Sword. The 5-mile strip that was known as Omaha Beach was the worst. And I've read so many different things now that almost can't believe everything on the longest day. But if things went, and some of the beaches they went well, but on Omaha it was a disaster. It was a disaster. Most of the tanks sunk and the people in the tanks died. Very few. We had this, I watched this thing yesterday, of how they invented this tank that would, you could have propellers and stuff and you could move across the water in a tank. And they tested it and it worked well in calm seas, but it wasn't calm. The vast majority of the tanks that were supposed to land on the beaches didn't make it because they sunk and the people died. People were pushed off into the water too early. They didn't go far enough in, and they drowned. In the middle section, Omaha Beach, it was the best defended, and they were mowed down, killed. High casualty rate. Officers were killed. Chaos. General Omar Bradley was on a ship off there, did contemplate the idea of evacuating those who were there. And who would have known what would have happened if that would have happened? But bit by bit, little by little, barely by the end of the day, we got a toehold in Omaha Beach. The other beaches, they were moving inland, but not at Omaha. They were able to move maybe a mile and a half inland from Omaha Beach, and that was tenuous, and they were still undergoing heavy fire. You know, I had the idea until recently that, you know, by the end of the day, boy, we just got these ships coming in. The battle's over. That's not really true. So many things went wrong at Omaha Beach. But individual men without officers make decisions, and they were able to breach that big wall bit by bit, not in one massive rush. the way the movie Longest Day depicts it, but they made it. And obviously, we won the war. And there were a lot of hundreds of acts of heroism there. I mean, especially the first wave came in, and they, like, it's like 80% of them were dead. The second wave you're coming in would be just as bad, because you see all these men dead. And here you are, you're getting shot at. It was terrible. But they made it. Bit by bit, they made it. People that weren't trained officers says, well, we got to do something here. And they somehow organized themselves and eventually won the day. And who knows what would have happened? Okay, let me go to what ifs. What if we wouldn't have captured Yorktown in 1781? Hey, Congress was out of money. We had now we look back and say, whoa, we couldn't have survived much longer because we didn't have much money. What would have happened at Gettysburg if the South would have won? The anti-war peace movement in the North would have said, that's it, let them go. Let them go, this is too much. If we wouldn't have won at New Orleans. Now, the war at in the Battle of New Orleans, which I don't have time to talk about, when Andrew Jackson won, the war really was already over, but it's such a boost to American morale, the Battle of New Orleans, early January 1815. If we wouldn't have won at Midway, if the Japanese would have won that battle in June of 1942, they would have maintained their grip on the Pacific. And if D-Day would not have been successful, who knows? Would we have sued for peace and said, okay, by that time, Hitler would have signed, he would have gone for peace. Hitler would have made peace. If we'd have lost and had to retreat and had a fiasco, a disaster, who knows? We might have sued for peace and say, let him have it. We'll just go back to America.
Well, again, if you back up to all the way back to the Revolutionary War, we wouldn't even have a country. So,
right.
I mean, it's just these battles that you just mentioned were not only giving us our country, but absolutely changing it, moving it forward. Slavery, I mean, the whole thing, just every single one of these battles critical. Not only to the United States, but to the world. And again, Normandy, man, D-Day, huge, absolutely huge. Great recap,
right.
Little shortened on the time, but great information. This last half-hour podcast, if you are homeschooling your kids, tell your friends about it. Share this podcast this last half-hour. Absolutely fantastic information, sir. Greatly appreciate it. And appreciate you getting back in time for church last Sunday.
Yes, I got back early in the morning, Sunday morning.
Yes, you did. We'll hear you on the radio again this Sunday from 11 to noon. Pastor Chatfield, Northern Michigan Baptist Bible Church in Burt Lake. Greatly appreciate you, sir.
Thank you, Randy.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Do you have a fear of running out of money during retirement? Or maybe worried about another market crash as the one we experienced in 2008? I have solutions. Whether it's for education, family, retirement, gift giving, or simple protection of your hard-earned money, I have a number of contractual guaranteed payouts to choose from. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
Gun owners in Northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL.